Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going back to the south. I'm going back, 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 where my roots ain't watered down.
To come before you on wonderful Wednesday. You know, some people call it hump day. So we're just going to make this thing do what it do. Again, this is a great opportunity. It's a blessing to come before you. I'm excited. You know, we're going to talk some sports because we are the boys of the historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So we're going to bring you some things that related to COVID-19 as well as social unrest. We talked a little bit about it for the last two Wednesdays. This is part three, America, sports in crisis. We hear a thing every day how things are happening in regard to schedules being canceled, fall sports being canceled, and all of these things going on. Then we also hear on the other side when everything is all ready to go. The only way they are down in Orlando, not only will they be down in Orlando, I think the last group may get there tomorrow, the last 18, and they'll get ready to go through their COVID-19 testing. And after they finish with their testing, they're going to be ready to get this last half of the basketball season together so they can end this thing and decide who's going to be the NBA champion, the world champion. So we'll keep an eye on that. We've got things that happen. Several people are optioning out. Some people are just literally just not, you know, we're not canceling it. You're going to be in the bubble, which is down in Orlando at Disney World. But the point is, you know, you're in the bubble. It's supposed to be in the bubble. So being in the bubble, we're trying to keep coronavirus out of that so these professional players and all the other people that's playing a part that can be saved. So we look forward to see how that's going to come out. And as I said, there's been several cancellations, and that's something we won't focus on, but we want to share with you. Now, we do not own the rights to the music that we are playing. We just want to come and bring you something to kind of get your spirits up, get you going. The last song is, you know, I always say it's Marvin Sapp, and it's a good song. You check it out, you know, because it touches us in many ways. All right, the call-in number for tonight's show is 334. I'm sorry, let me back it up because I'm going into a so used to using 334 because that's the area code. It's 347-857-4192. Press 1 and make sure you get yourself on here so you can share your thoughts, so you can chat with it. And I'll make sure you're on because I'll call out the last four digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I'll ask you to, hey, tell me your location or your name, then offer your expertise. So we look forward to attacking the topic tonight of the title. We have America Sports in Crisis, COVID-19 and Social Unrest, Part 3. Now, if you want to just listen to the show, you can go to the web link. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. You can check it out. Not only checking out tonight's show, but all the other episodes we have, you can check them out for all of the shows that we run 5 days a week. But they're alternated on dates. It's not always in 1 week. It's just a continuous 5 days. We may go Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. So we kind of rotate that to make sure we have that option to get a little rest here. So, again, we are the voice of the historical black colleges and university, high school and middle school athletics. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to have our coaches' corner, and we're going to share some thoughts about that. Now, in regards to if you want to email the show, you can, talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. If you want to tweet the show, you can go at talkingsportsplus with the number 1, at Lorenza D. Smith, at Elliot Darrell with the number 1, at Tremaine Edward, the number 7, and at Coach with a K, underscore, L_Smith. You can tweet each and every one of us, and you can share your thoughts that way as well. Appreciate as individuals slowly get on and join us on Facebook. We're going to be broadcast actually using two devices to be broadcast by Facebook. Our Facebook account, or if you want to say the handle that I have, is facebook.com/DRLDalberto Smith. So you can check us out that way. So we look to have an awesome show tonight. As soon as my team join me, they normally come in a minute or two later, sometimes 10 or 15, even at the half hour, because they'll give me a notice in advance that they won't be able to come on at the 8 o'clock hour. But I will give them a shout out to get it started out. As soon as they come in, I'll let everybody know they're on the line. He hails from South Central Alabama, our resident high school expert, none other than Touchdown Tony Stallworth. He'll be joining us, and he normally come in about 8 o'clock to kind of share his thoughts on the high school division and the middle school division. Also, we have the lady of the hour, the young lady that's joining us. She's the only female on the show, and she's so happy as a co-host. She's happy to be here. She lives in Central Alabama. None other than Coach Lauren D. Smith, our radio personality. Hails from South Alabama, close to the Florida line. Traveled up to Montgomery to work as a radio personality and over to Troy to do the same thing. Then down to Dothan. None other than our radio personality, Daryl E. Train Elliott. Also, we have two more young individuals that's joined us. We have a millennial, and he's a coach in Central Alabama, and he's come in from time to time as an expert. We thank him so much for doing it. None other than Coach Cameron Gilmer. And last but not least, the individual that's sort of like tugging the rope, pulling the rope, and we just working through it as the other co-host was doing things, trying to get back, trying to avoid COVID-19, just trying to stay out of the way. They're doing their best to be able to be a part of it. But he's been basically here just about every week. We thank him. We thank him for doing that. He might not be on the line as of now. Hopefully he calls in so we can be a part of it, because offer some dynamic conversation in regards to sports, none other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. And we look to have him in here very soon. We see several people joining us on Facebook. I'll give you this shout out because I always do it at the end, and it's always good to have the opportunity. I'm looking before me. I have two devices. I have Latay Pickett. Thank you, Latay, so much. Latay was one of our first guests that we had on our show, our Talking Real to You, that show that we had that we have on Monday night. It was called Real Talk at the time. She came in and shared a lot of information about a ministry, and we thank you again, Latay, so much. We also have our co-host of that Monday night show, which is now Talking Real to You. That's Lisa Levine. She's joining us out of South Florida on Facebook. Also, we have our next co-host that joins us on that Monday night show. I thank her for the support as well as all of you, and Lisa particular. That's Dr. Olivia E. Smith out of Georgia. Also joining my frat brother. Thank you so much. Working hard, helping our correction, helping our young people, our older people move in the right direction. Thank you so much, Dr. Scott Holmes. Thank you, Scott, so much. And also, young lady that I work with down in Lowndes County. So glad to have her. She has some accessories, some clothing, a clothing line that she's running now on Facebook. Check her out. That's Kizzy Pretty Please Rudolph. Check her out. She has some outstanding things. Just go to her Facebook page and you can purchase some things from her in any kind of wear you have in form of clothing. And you check her out. We thank you so much. Those are the ones that are on the line so far, but we're going to have others, and I'll make sure I give everybody a shout at the end as well. Thank you so much for joining. I'm gonna hit my button over here, and I'm going to say hello and wave at those people that joined us. I also just came on the line. Thank you so much. I'll say a co-worker works over there at Alabama State University. Appreciate you joining us, Karan White. Thank you, Karan. And she have Blast Aerobics. She have a session she have was having twice a week. Check her out. Just go to her Facebook page and you can be part of it. She's here in Montgomery and she's now doing virtual due to COVID-19. Check her out, Karan. She's doing an awesome job with us. Well, she got several people joining us, and I have to give them the shout out because they're doing some things to make a difference. That's the vision I received in 2017, to do something different. Say, use this the vehicle to get the word out. So we're going to talk some sports tonight. America's sports in crisis, COVID-19, and social unrest. We don't have to beat this over and over again because you know what's going on. So we want to make sure we talk about it. But before I do that, I want to do a couple of things because this is very important that we do this. We want to give a shout out to all the frontline workers, the healthcare people that's working out there, the law enforcement, then to those individuals making sure they're keeping our stores stocked with things, our truck drivers, our grocers, many other people. We have our counselors, mental health counselors. We have our rehabilitation counselors working to make sure people get back to work. We got a mental thing. It's all about a mental thing. The mental health has been affected through COVID-19 and social unrest. So we thank those individuals for joining. But we also have some sad news to talk about. It. The thing about it, you know, we shared on our Monday night show, and it's disheartening, but God, it's heavy on your heart because God is always, you know, in the midst. So keep that in mind. I give him the praise and shout it loud, holy hallelujah, because he's awesome. He had brought me a mighty long way. However, on Monday morning, and I'm going to make sure I get it right, God transitioned one of our finest alumnus of Alabama State University, but also worked with the Montgomery Police Department, worked with the Montgomery Police Department as a detective. Tanisha Pusley, she started with the police department in 2016. She's, again, a graduate of Alabama State University, also was on the bowling team at Alabama State University. It's so sad to see this young lady go because of domestic violence, senseless. Doesn't make any sense that we begin continue to take lives. My hashtag is One Life Matter. One life matters. And we have to keep that in mind. We have to focus on that. And we have to stop the senseless killing of each other, senseless murder of one another in our culture. And so just, you know, today I saw something on the news where they gave her an escort, the Montgomery Police Department, the law enforcement escort her to the funeral home, which is Ralston Clayton. It's sad, but 27 years old, life is taken from her because of domestic violence. We also had an incident up in Birmingham up the Galleria Mall. So I'm telling you, where we're going, we have to be on our P's and Q's, be observant of what's going on in our around us and our surrounding. 8-year-old boy went there with his family to go to the mall. And these young adults decide they want to hash out something in the opening part of the mall and pull out guns and just start shooting. Kills an 8-year-old boy, not getting a chance to make a difference in the life that God has planned for him because of senseless shooting. We have to stop this. That's Roy Tay Giles Jr. And we really go, you know, we've seen this happen, and we got to say, stop the violence. We got to stop the murder of each other. We have to stop that. Also, there were several incident over the weekend. I don't know, we were celebrating or whatever we call on the 4th of July, we were celebrating, and it was 23 shot and one killed. Young lady killed, girl was killed in Atlanta, but 23 was shot. In Chicago, 87 people shot, 17 dead, 11 killed in New York, 21 shot in Philadelphia, 7 dead. 11-year-old boy killed in Washington, D.C., with his uncle going over there to get a block charger. Gets out the car, and senseless violence goes on. He's shot and killed. Ricky Smiley's daughter was shot in Houston over the weekend. He was in surgery over the weekend. Hadn't been following up and found out what happened. This is senseless. We have to stop. Hashtag One Life Matter. Let's keep it in mind. We want to move forward to America Sports in Crisis, COVID-19, Social Unrest, Part 3. In our Coach's Corner, we wanted to focus on NFL teams and the opportunity they're going to give Colin Kaepernick. You know, as of today, Colin haven't had the opportunity or offer. Because the last two, as they said, left out on the market that wasn't and hadn't signed was Cam Newton and Colin Kaepernick. New England Patriots made the move on Cam, so Cam has a home, have a team, at least for a year. It could be longer, but we still, why no team wants to sign Colin Kaepernick? And that's a discussion. And we don't have the answers because the owners are sitting back and not even making an effort to say anything to support their players as their players go out and take stands on Black Lives Matter. You haven't heard one NFL owner say anything about that. And the way they acted 4 years in regards to Colin taking a knee during the playing of the national anthem, and everybody just lashed out and attacked. The owners tried to almost blackball him. He did receive a settlement deal with that. We're talking about owners who still sitting back and not saying anything. Nothing. And I want y'all to just pay attention. You hadn't had one NFL owner step out of their comfort zone. These billionaires in their comfort zone doing this sense of unrest, injustice that's been going on for 400 plus years. No one, we're not looking for somebody to feel sorry for us. But the stand that Colin took at the time, we mistaken, and it was hijacked by the president of the United States, and it was talking about unpatriotism. That wasn't what it was all about. It was bringing attention to the senseless lives of black Americans being taken by our police force. We witnessed it with George Floyd. I told people I had never seen any officer in any situation, ain't like I've seen a whole lot of them arrest people, actually put his knee on someone's neck and keep it there and look up like nobody better say anything to him. And it led to our social unrest, which has always been there. Individuals band together. I said those warriors, those masses of young people got out there and marched, got out there and stress that we got to make change. So all of the changes come, like you're seeing the statues coming down. You're seeing things that are happening. However, I want to remind everybody, Colin still don't have a job. But besides that, we can march for pain because we're in pain. We marched and we marched hard. Now it's time to march for change. We can't just let cause we marched 3 weeks ago be the answer. We got to have some efforts to make changes, pressure put on the right people to make changes. We have to. Systemic racism in the workplace, in the business, in the colleges, entrance into college, you have systemic racism. It may be more equal in getting into college now than it probably ever have been because they have removed this thing that's always been biased that kept us out of a lot of colleges. We could go, but we have to go in on a provisional basis, your PWIs, predominant white colleges, predominant white institutes. PWIs, but there are colleges and universities. The ACT score, SAT score, our core, our advanced classes kept us out. Now they're looking at the advanced classes, but they're not looking at ACTs and SATs. They're also giving computers and iPads to students that enroll as freshmen at these PWIs. So we're getting some sense of change. What we have to do, not let just because it's COVID-19 open the door for us, allow our march be for change. We've had all the pain. Less time to march for change. And this is a move. Hold them to that. Not say eliminate SAT and ACT. I want you to keep that because I just believe, because I haven't seen it in years, young people, athletes in particular, whenever they need to get a higher score to be able to play, they can get it, 17, 18, 19. They can get it. They can get it. So it ain't like they can't get in college and have the ACT and SAT. I don't want that to be food. You know, over the university I work at, they got some. All of the students are outstanding and smart young people. But sometimes we don't try to understand them. We have to. This is a new generation. So we're dealing with this. So Colin Kaepernick is part of a little bit of this generation here. And we got to understand that we have to hold those owners, you know, just hold their feet to the fire. I said I'm glad that every NFL player, all the ones that are standing out, even a Caucasian or either a black or whoever they may be, are saying that, you know, black matter lives. Black lives matter. Let's keep in mind, they have their hand on the pulse. They realize they can change. It might not be ownership, but they can change commissioners. We can put, if we want to replace systemic racism in the workplace, in the NFL or the NBA, we need to have more coaches, black head coaches. We only have three. And the change won't come from us, Marge. That's what I'm saying. Change will come from them getting together and saying, we need to see more look like us, because it's 70% of us in the league. 70% of us in the league, but we only have three head coaches, two or three general managers, and maybe one that serves up in the NFL office. We got to change. If we want change, we got to march for change. So Colin Kaepernick set the ball rolling, but I'm also pushing back to 2013 with those young ladies who came up with the idea of Black Lives Matter in 2013. And we have to keep doing that. So the question or the discussion is about no NFL team is willing to hire, no NFL owner is willing to step out at this time and say anything in regards to social unrest. That's the biggest challenge. You can get one to step out. Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys runs his mouth all the time when it benefits him and his team, hadn't said anything. That's what we are. I tell everybody, change must come in your heart. Don't sit up and say, oh, I support it, but we got to really, really see, because you support it and still go to your ivory towers. The masses are still go to their places and struggle and challenge it. We don't have health care. It's being taken from individuals. And this sounds more like a political speech, because that's what it's all about, our elderly care. Those individuals are dying, and it means nothing for them to die from COVID-19. I know. It means, because people would think, give you the go-ahead because you're not 65 and older. You can, you're not going to, so you out, we can go do what we do and end up, now the numbers are fitting more to the 20 to 49. We got to march for change. So Colin Kaepernick set in the NFL and got the ball rolling, even though I'm going to give the group in 2013 for Black Lives Matter credit where it needs to be put at. And they're still driving and grinding right now. So we ask you to kind of focus on that. Colin don't have a job as of today, and hopefully he can get a job to get back into the NFL, if that's what he chooses to do. All right, the next topic we want to talk about is in regards to America's sports in crisis and COVID-19 social unrest, is discussing why colleges who will not be able to afford, listen to me, colleges will not be able to afford the coronavirus testing, which leads some of them canceling football season. Share your thoughts on that. What you think about that? Why is colleges have to cancel a football season or cancel for fall sports in regards to corona testing? If you're not, I'm going to share with you some little tidbits in regards to the massive requirement that's on our colleges to make sure we have the funding to be able to do the testing. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. And I'll make sure I get you on this chat line by calling out the last four digits of the cell or telephone number, give you location or name, and then you can offer your expertise. One of the biggest challenges for the colleges, especially your NAIA, your Division III, and your Division II, and your Division I AA. And I'm going to call out so you can be familiar with some of those schools that fall in certain categories. On your FCS, which is Division I AA, you have your historical black colleges, two conferences. You have the Southwest Athletic Conference and the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. Team consists of North Carolina Central, North Carolina A&T in that Mid-Eastern Conference. Also, you have Howard University still in the conference up there. You have FAMU, who we know recently took a step out, then they're moving to the SWAC. They're still in the MEAC. Bethune-Cookman is still in the MEAC, but we're moving in 21 to the SWAC. Teams in the Southwest Athletic Conference, which is our historical black college, which is a FCS of Division I AA. Just remember that. You have the Alabama State, you have the Alabama A&M, you have the Jackson State, the Southerns, the Grambling, the Alcorn, however you want to put it, depending on where you are or where you're from. You have Mississippi Valley. Those schools make up what we call the FCS. I mean, trying to hit this wave in hand for the FCS, which is Division One AA. They're Division One, but they're double O. That means they're step low. They're having some challenges. They're gonna have some challenges coming up this fall. I know some of them are planning to come back. They have a staggered schedule set up to come back. But the biggest challenge will be in that testing. It's going to be testing. That's going to be their biggest challenge. Your Division II schools make up in the historical black colleges and universities, the CIAA, which is Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, consists of those schools up on the on that East Coast, Virginia State, make up the school right there. Clapton, you have all those schools that make up that up that area up there. And they are smaller schools, Division II level. Then you also have SIAC, which is the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, made of the schools that are they're inland in the state of Ohio down to the state of Alabama to Alabama, over to Georgia. You have locally for the individuals who's aware, that's Tuskegee University, that's Miles College, then you have Central State University make up the SIAC. You have the schools of the Atlantic School Colleges and Universities in the city of Atlanta. You have the Morehouse, you have the Amaris Brown, you have the Clark, you know, you have the Savannah State that's down in South Georgia, then you have Albany State, Fort Valley. Those schools make up those. And you got to understand the money's not coming into those schools, not rushing into those schools. So we're getting things to happen because we already had one school of a Division II status, historical black colleges, out of the SIAC to counsel fall sports. And that's Morehouse. They made the decision. And another Division III school have decided to cancel sports, and that's West Texas A&M. They have canceled their fall sports. Then it also a hit to those schools that don't give scholarship. They still may be playing at a level, Division I level, in certain sports, and that's the Ivy League. The Ivy League voted today to not participate in fall sports. They're talking about possibly playing football in the spring. The 18s that make up the Ivy League. This is how COVID-19 have affected those schools. This is how COVID-19 have changed it. Let's get back to why those schools, they, even though some of them are opening their doors to try to play sports this fall and may have the money and be looking for the money. The coronavirus testing required during this time for athletes, if they have to be tested more than one time, several times a week. And it's about $67 per test. So if you have a scholarship allotment, a team of about 90 players, for them to participate, you have to give them a test when they first come in. Then you have to test them during a week's time to make sure they're not all tagged. Nobody have, you know, because you can test negative and still a week later be positive. That's costly. And that will take your money from the beginning. One of the major reasons why the decision made by Morehouse was it was finance. So corona testing is going to affect these schools as well. Morehouse just decided to step out of it a lot quicker. They made the decision earlier, so they had to worry about seeing if we're going to make it. Now, if we hit with wave two that's coming up in September, it's a wrap anyway. Now, your Power Five schools, you know, I didn't put them, which is your Division One, because they have the money to test their athletes. They have the money to do all these things because their split at their summer, I mean, I'm sorry, their spring conference when the SEC was the Southeastern Conference or the ACC, when they meet in the spring, they handed out to each one of their schools $30 million. That's every year. Sometimes it's $40 million. So they have money in the bank to do the testing. They almost can play without staying, I mean, without people in the fans, and because of the TV, the games, every game that these large university Power Five are televised in some form or fashion, and they get money from that. Our smaller schools, like our FCS, don't. They don't have that opportunity. So you will see a lot of other schools call it quits because they won't financially be able to do it. And the coronavirus test will be one of the major reasons, the finance of that. And it's quite expensive. Like I said, $6 to $7. Trying to get it to come down a little cheaper to about $8, which you don't have enough from the beginning. We said we didn't have enough for the individuals now. So what are we talking about? We got to understand that it just might not be in the football this fall. I don't care how much we play, it just may not. Because we got to remember, the second wave is coming. And it's going to affect every school and every system. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. I need you to press that 1 once you call in, and I will call out the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number so you can chat with me, share your thoughts. If you wasn't aware about coronavirus testing and the cost of it and the reason it's going to cause several schools to cancel their football season and also students testing positive going to have a major effect on these schools being able. Like I say, they may test when they first come in. You might break it down, a group come in on this week, another group come on this week. All of them going to be tested, and you're going to have some positive. Everybody, every other team in this workout in the summer have had had players on their team to be tested positive. And that's coming from home. And once they get back to the campus, one thing I always tell everybody, they're there to play football, yeah, but they still are young people from the ages of 17 to 22, 23. And they're going to have fun. They're going to find a way, and they're going to be around those people. They're going to be always around football players all the time. So we're dealing with a situation that we have to understand it's a backlash to it. And that backlash is that people don't want to pay their money. I received something from where I'm a season ticket holder, and it was talking about, well, we have this policy. If it's COVID-19, we have an outbreak, we got a refund policy, we got all that. But if you actually pay one or two games, you get no refund. That is not the biggest challenge there, because I know for sure that where I work at will be mandatory masks on campus and the stadiums on campus. How comfortable a lot of people going to be? People going to be there. I'm not taking that away from them. But you have to look at that. Some people, I can spend money another way. I can watch it on television to, satisfy instead of being in that situation. We're spiking every day. And it's sad what gets me. They're always giving this information about, oh, we didn't have that many deaths. We don't have that many deaths. I'm glad we don't have that many deaths, because when I saw in Italy how they was digging those public graves, they was right beside each other. And it was just a mass of individuals. We don't want to have that. But just remember, if you contract COVID-19 or coronavirus, you may get over it, but nobody's saying you can't have it again. So we have to practice the safety measures. It's social distancing, 6 feet plus, face mask, put some gloves, it won't hurt, because you have to wash your hand anyway, so that not allow you to touch things. So if you have gloves on, and we have to stay at home. So if we're going to do that to keep it from spiking, which the next 2 weeks are going to be major, because just remember now, we had the 4th of July, and we looked at beaches, and it was packed, people's on top of each other having a ball. You won't see any results from that, where you saw a lot of people without masks, people on top of each other. They kept saying they were in large groups because it was family. But we know families of 30 to be infected. So we're going to see our numbers grow. And it's 7 days now. It's going to be 7 days. 4th of July was Saturday. Today is Wednesday. By the weekend, you're going to see the number spike some more. For the next 2 weeks, it's going to be crucial for us. Take care of yourself. Talk to your family members. That's the key to it. Don't rely on anybody else to tell you. I don't care if it's a president or whoever it is to tell you. If you don't want a mask, fine. But you think about your, not just you, think about if you of age and some of them are young, think about your parents, your grandparents, your children, everybody, cousin, your friend, anybody who may be high risk. Think about that when you send your people out there. All right, let's move to just talking about many schools joining Morehouse. There will be several other schools joining Morehouse because they took the initiative on July the 3rd not to participate in fall sports. But I want to kind of go back a little further. Back in May, there was a county out on the Pacific Coast, L.A. County, which has something like 15, 20 million, at least 10 to 15 million students, I mean 10 to 15 million people, but they got a large population of colleges there. And they had made the decision to go online anyway. Everybody said it was too early. I don't think so. You have to make decisions called hashtag One Life Matter. One Life Matter. It ain't back to normal. Because I heard that out of the plan to get school back open in central Alabama, in the state of Alabama, saying that, you know, we can go back to normal. We're not going back to normal. Now I see the change where they ordering masks. You know, want these students, folks said students couldn't wear a mask. Well, we also had to convince, you know, if we want to live, if you want other folks to live, the thing about being responsible, you'll wear a mask. We have to accept the reality. We have to do whatever it has to do. People will do as there's an indication. It's always going to be somebody that's not going to do it. I was in education over 30-something plus years in a secondary as well as a elementary and preschool level. And I always said 5% of the students are not going to do right anyway, unfortunately. If they can get away with it, they can get away with it. But you have to be firm with what you're doing. And I think Opelika is a lead way. Opelika, a city school system, said everybody going to wear masks. And then superintendent said that we're going to have the parents to talk to their children. We're going to talk to everybody, let them know it's required. It's not hard. That's why I said people can wear a mask. We put arbitrary things out there that people can't wear. You can't, you know, you may have a condition, you can't breathe. But, you know, I'm listening to medical people say, that is my constitutional right. Goes, we'll find the Constitution, say the constitutional right that you can't wear a mask. I want to see it in the Constitution. But I also use this. Your constitutional rights stop when they come infringing on my rights. And if you're not wearing a mask, you're infringing on my rights now. That's the way we work it. That's what us history people are all about. So make sure you promote that among your individuals, promote this among your people, let them know they need to wear a mask. Nobody says protect you totally from anything, but it gives you a lot of defense. And it's up to you to use social distancing. It's up to you to wash your hands. It's up to you to stay at home when you're not out for essential things. You have to make sure you do your part. And don't rely on somebody to tell you to do this. That's what it's all about. So Morehouse made that decision. The colleges and school system, the online over in L.A. County in California, Los Angeles. Also, I'm here in Seattle, Washington now is going to move to online. You got several people moving because this thing is spiking too fast because people are being irresponsible. And it's time to be responsible. We can't. Yes, you can. You can do what you need to do to save one life. Hashtag One Life Matter. And I want you to check us out because I'm gonna have some shirts out here recently, even some masks available. Get you a mask, get your shirt, and I'll be giving them away. You just let me know you want one, and I want you to wear it. One Life Matter. That's what it's all about. So we're going to move forward and move to the next topic in regards to several big-time black athletes committing to historical black colleges and universities. Several that would be going to Division One of your PWIs have decided to, and they said, because it's the movement, Black Lives Matter, why can't we support our own, which is overdue. And we can tinkle around with that, because even before we had integration, you had segregation, and you had black colleges, and all your best athletes went to your best black colleges. Yes, we went through this process. We're seeing a movement that's moving them back to the college. So I'm all for that. So, you know, the driving force is Black Lives Matter movement to get our black athletes back to our black colleges and universities to play sports. And it means a whole lot to kind of have one or two or three sometime on the floor, makes you more competitive. And for those over the period of time, I'll say the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, the Alcorns who've been dominant in football, the Southern that's been at the Gremlin, they've been having athletes playing at the high level. We're going to begin to get more athletes can play at the high level. So it'll be more entertaining at your historical black college and university. That's what we are the voice. We're the voice of the historical black college and university. So we want to talk about being able to have, you know, set up when we on remote to talk to some of these individuals at these stadiums. And we can do that now, and we have done it already. But to have those athletes, people excited about winning, excited to see these players to play. This is what we're talking about, the big-time players, big-time black athletes talking about coming back, being committed to the black university, the historical black colleges and universities. Hoorah. All to do with the Black Lives Matter movement. Begin to see that that inequality that these PWIs, and then, you know, is unjust. You know, we see that. So our young people begin. So I say the ones that out there marching and out there protesting, the masses was young people. Change is going to come. And it's our young people going to make a change. And they also the one making decision to go to historical black colleges and universities. The Ivy League, as I said earlier, have decided to they was expected as I was doing my agenda, but today officially the Ivy League. And you say, well, who are those? That's a Cornell. That's a Dartmouth. Those are schools that's up in the Ivy League up there. And Harvard, you know, Yale. Those universities play football, but they don't play on no academic. They don't play on no athletic scholarship. They don't play on academic. They have to pay their way or use what we call grant and aid. You know, I shared this with someone recently. I was telling them, I said, even though a person receives a scholarship, it looks beautiful when they're going to play athletics. The first thing every student has to do to go to when they go to the university is to fill out a FAFSA. At one time, it was called a basic grant. It evolved to the Pell Grant. Now it's called FAFSA. They use that FAFSA, they determine your qualification. So when the money come in, if you got a zero, they call it, it's a zero. So that's 100% receiving help and assistance. Then that pays the scholarship pays for your school, pays for your tuition. And the remaining amount that the university will put is that extra amount to cover the other things there. That's how athletics work. It doesn't matter what university. They use grant and aid. They have to fill out the FAFSA. Every one of them had to fill out the FAFSA so they can go to school. So the Ivy League do not accept anything that we would call as an athletic scholarship. They don't give scholarships in athletics. Now, they accept money. The foundation, the alumni has put the money in there because, you know, I'm an Ivy League graduate, and they're going to put the money there. They're on Wall Street, they're everywhere. They're going to put the money. So they take that foundation and make sure they take care of that. But those students still fill out FAFSA. A lot of them there can't get it, but there are some that can receive it, and it helps offset it as well. That's how your scholarship thing, that's how your scholarship to play sports work. That's how it works. So just keep that in mind when those students going over that, you know, oh, we're getting this scholarship for 4 years or 1 year to play at University of Alabama or Auburn University. They still got to fill out a FAFSA. That's the first thing they make them do. And if they're at zero on a rating, they get that money from through that grant. That's how they get the money. And then the balance they'll pay from the scholarship. That's how it works, no matter what university you go to. So the Ivy League coaches have decided to vote on the eight schools. The eight schools have decided to vote on playing in the spring, moving the fall sports to the spring. So it's a good chance you're going to be looking at some football in the spring. And just remember, you say, oh, man, it's going to be hot. Just remember where the Ivy League schools are. They're up in the northern part, northeast part of the country. They don't get hot like it get hot in Alabama or Florida or Georgia. So they can still play this sport in the spring. So look forward to seeing that. That's something new. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line by calling out the last four digits of your cell or telephone number. And then ask for your name, location, and offer your comments in regards to the topic you're talking about, America sports in crisis, COVID-19, and social unrest, part 3. All right, let's look at our historical black colleges and universities. We talked about Morehouse a few minutes ago. We talked about several other colleges that falls in the historical black college and university conferences, which is the Southwest Athletic Conference and the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. But we want to talk specifically about some games being canceled, some classic games being canceled for historical black colleges and universities due to the coronavirus. Okay, we're going to look at, first of all the pandemic. We'll look at Southern University versus Tennessee State. It's supposed to be playing in Detroit on the 5th of September. It's been canceled because of COVID-19. Jackson State University was taking on Tennessee State in Memphis on September 12th, canceled. It won't be playing it. Then you have a home game for Southern University who's running into a problem. They had three opponents to drop off their schedule because of coronavirus. Or they are smaller division. One of them was a smaller division. And they're canceling a home game against FAMU on September the 12th. Just remember, FAMU have made their mind up. They're leaving the MEAC, which is the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, which will be in the SWAC next year to take on Southern, alternated every year, because it'll be 12 schools in the conference now. However, financially, FAMU said, we're going to make a move. We're going to just only do those games that we need to do. Now, just remember also, FAMU last year, if you wasn't aware of it, they was making a move then. They won their conference and also declared themselves black college champions last year. And they had to forfeit all their games. Their games didn't count. Meaning, put it this way, they couldn't be in the postseason play because of that academic thing, the APR. So they was postseason, they couldn't play. But they went on and declared themselves champions because they beat everybody in the MEAC. So they declared themselves champion of the MEAC and champion of black college football last year. So they're getting ready to make a move. So the pandemic kind of put them in a position. So when they make that move, they want to spend as much money. So they canceled that game between Southern and FAMU. Then we got Jackson State game against Langston. Langston College, which is a Division II school, scheduled for September the 5th. It'll be canceled because of coronavirus. They will not be playing that game. The Black College Hall of Fame Classic that was scheduled for the 4th through the 6th has been canceled. Then I was looking somewhere that, if I'm going to be mistaken, I might be mistaken, either Virginia State or one of those schools I was looking, will be canceling their homecoming activities. They will not be having anything. They plan on playing the game, but they're not going to have any homecoming festivities. So you may look to see that happen with several other universities because of the CDC and their guidelines. For those not aware, we're going to talk a little bit about the guidelines that's out there. We know we have to make sure the safety of our players is so important. They're recommending if they can wear shields. A lot of players are always wearing shields under their face mask. So that's not going to be anything new for those individuals to do. So they're going to make sure that those guidelines say if you have in the stadium, for example, Southern was sharing with a group of individuals that I managed to get information about. They normally have about 20,000 season ticket holders. They only can allow 7,500, and you got to be spaced out 6 feet apart unless you're a family. That's going to happen with a lot of stuff. Your capacity only can be 50%. In between timeouts, they're going to have, you're going to see this, it's going to take a little longer. They're going to take a little extra, even in high school. They've talked about that in college. Pros, they're going to have to clean the ball off, make sure it's clean. I know it seems like it's, you know, that's just crazy, man. But sometimes you have to do that because you can't take any chances when we're doing. These are some things you look to see that we're going to continue to talk about next week. We're still going to be talking about COVID-19 and in regards to social unrest. Just was a couple questions in regard. We said something about social unrest when a lot of the black players are now committing to historical black colleges and universities. We want to know the effect dealing with the high schools of Black Lives Matter on the college recruiting. The movement is affecting college recruiting besides COVID-19 affecting college recruiting, because a lot of the recruiting now is being done through technology. Teams are still getting some of the players, but there are some players that may not be ready to sign in December. That's how the Black Lives Movement Black Lives Matter movement is going to affect recruiting. That means high school players. We're talking about how high school players are not going to be able to make a decision by December. Then if we have a second round, that's going to complete, because normally they've been made a couple visits. They have been to camps this summer. They have junior camps, and they have sophomore camps. They're not doing it, not able. So it's going to affect recruiting megabucks away. So look forward to see that in regards to how the Black Lives Matter, because a lot of these players will decide not to go to those colleges and go to our historical black colleges and universities. We're going to talk a little bit about racism that exists in high school and middle school athletics. And I'm going to tell you what we have about 3 minutes, and I'm going to tell you, I can tell you it does work. It does happen. It does happen, whether we want to believe it or not. And one of the biggest things, because I strive myself. I was an athlete. I played football, you know, all the way through all levels. And when I had opportunity to coach, my dream was to be able to coach and coach at a high level. But it seems like as a young black coach, wanting to be a head football coach of the schools that have the finance and have the players, we are always relegated. And I want you to look around now. I know we have some black coaches at some school, but you look at the Hoovers and you look at the Pratt Bulls, and I'm using Pratt Bulls. Yeah, we have them in Montgomery, but yeah, you know, they turned Montgomery over a long time ago. But I'm talking about where we have a integrated situation. Let's think about it. I always wanted to be, but I always ran into this thing because I can remember I was coaching and the team, I was an assistant coach on this team, and we was a small class school, small team, 1A. We played football. We won a state championship. We was a competitive, probably lost 2 games in a couple years. And I can tell you like this. I was fine being the assistant coach and the head basketball coach, but I never could work my way up to. So that was a sense of it right there. So systemic racism even in high school. Another story. I take pride because it was a great opportunity. I was the first black coach at one of the local junior high schools back in the 90s. First black head football coach at this particular junior high school. It was amazing. But the schools began to change. Before, team had like 4 or 5 city championships. But when it began to change, they started leaving, and it was all right there. But it's good that we can, they want us to be basketball. Just look at the programs that are high level, see where the black head coaches are. That's a systemic racism right there. You can be the basketball coach, but you can't be the football coach. I just want you to look at the school. You can poll them yourself. I'm not talking about Montgomery. Look at some of the surrounding county schools around us. Look at it. A lot of black basketball coaches. There are a few head football coaches at our schools that have got more resources. Let me say that. To have more resources. It's been awesome tonight, and I want you to be a part of it. We got quite a few calls on here, but no one wanted to press one so they can be a part of it. But that's all right. We appreciate you joining us. One of my devices, Facebook, decided it went his 1 hour. Now it has popped off. Thank you so much. It's a blessing. But I still have one of them in front of me, and I want to give a shout out to those individuals for taking time and staying with us tonight because, you know, as I said, my hashtag is One Life Matters. That's my hashtag. We're going to have some shirts out here very soon. We want you to get one. It's going to be free. I'll send it to you. I'll pay for the shipping just to send it to you. You send me your size of wearing it. It's going to say One Life. I'm going to have one for you by our next show. You can see it and see if you want to wear that because it's all about One Life Matter. That's the hashtag. Smith Way Enterprise will be on the back of the shirt. In the front and at the bottom, we'll have right down at the bottom, Talking Real to You. So check it out. It's going to be awesome. The shirt is going to be available. Next week I'll have it so you can see it because I'm going to have a young lady start printing them up. And also we're working on trying to get some masks as well. So like I said, it's been awesome tonight. I do appreciate you joining. Hope we share something about America Sports in Crisis, COVID-19 Social Unrest Part 3. We most likely going to have a part 4 because we're getting ready for the bubble down in Orlando, the big O. And we want to talk a little bit more about that. We'll have more cancellations that we're going to share with you. Check us out tomorrow night. We got an awesome show planned. It's the Love Cafe. The L is for listening. The O is for overcoming. The V is for value. And the E is for excitement and expectation. The Love Cafe. It is all about soothing your appetite. Our menu for the Love Cafe on tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Is that we have our starter and appetizer with the lust. Then we have our entree, which is the attraction. And then we have a dessert, which is attachment. We're going to just pull you in. Check us out. We're going to be talking about Can You Learn to Love? That's the name of the title tomorrow, 6 o'clock Central Standard Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook. Check us out tomorrow night. I'll be hosting that. I want you to join us as well. Call-in number is the same. The web link is the same as well. And the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Give us a call tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. The web link, if you just want to hear the show, is www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. So we look forward to talking with y'all tomorrow. And as we close out, I gave you the first hashtag, One Life Matter. My second hashtag, and I always want to talk about this hashtag, because it's so important that I get an opportunity to talk about it because it's all about grinding. You know, hashtag keep on grinding. That's what it's all about. Keep on grinding. Don't let nobody hold you back. Keep on doing what you need to do, and that way you can be successful. You know, because, you know, the best is yet to come. You just got to keep grinding and just doing what you need to do. So, you know, the next hashtag, as I was talking about, is communicate for understanding. I ask you to communicate for The number four, understanding. That means you got to listen, just like our love cafe is. We're talking about love is all about listening. Listening to your significant other, listening to your husband, your wife, the spouse, just listening to them. And listen to your family members. Don't always think you have to be the one that's talking all the time. You don't have to, because you have to have that ability to hear what other people say, because it'll lead you to moving to the next chapter of the next episode. And our next episode is the Love Cafe. Check us out tomorrow. And last but not least, we always want to say this to you because it means so much. And I want you to tell your family members, your friends, call them or go to Zoom and tell them you love them. And they ask you why. It's just because. It's just because we love you. And we want you to know about it. Let me give a shout out. Again, we have Lisa Levine joining us on Facebook. We had several others that went out on us. And the other device, he just have an hour. It just went out. It's his thing. Olivia, which is Dr. O. Smith. We have Dr. Scott Holmes, member of 580 Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. Give him a shout out. Kizzy, Pretty Please Rudolph. She got a clothing line. Check her out on Facebook. Just go ahead and type it in. Kizzy, K-I-Z-Z-Y, Pretty Please. Please have a Z on the end. Rudolph, check her out. We have Karan White checking us out. Thank you so much, Karan. She has Blast Aerobic, and she also have accessories. Have a lot of accessories, too. Go to her page, and you can purchase something from her accessories. But also, she have a time on Tuesday and Thursday. And correct me, Karan, if that's not the date that y'all doing your Blast Aerobics. And you can go there and do hip hop. You can do a yoga, Zumba. Not yoga, but Zumba. Go check out. That's Karan White. Go to her Facebook page as well. Those individuals that's joining us, thank you so much. I lost several others that was on the other page, and it's good to be able to have them on there. But we're gonna move to the next chapter. We don't own the rights to this song, but I want to tell you, as I was saying, share with your family, your friends. Go Zoom. Call them on the phone. Tell them you love them. Tell them you miss them. We understand COVID-19 is going on, and we all going to get together one day again. We're going to make sure we do that. So it's the next chapter of the next episode going to be even better tomorrow night. The next episode at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Have an awesome night. And I'm going to say it like I always said. I love you. And there's a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night.
Da 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 da. It's the one and only Digo Double G.
Snoop Dogg.
Da 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 da. You know I'm mobbing with the D-R-E.
Yeah. You know the West Coast is back for all you suckers. What's up in there?
Top dog, by the mall, yeah, I'm burning it up. DPGC, you should be turning it up. CBT, LBC, yeah, we hooking back up. And when they bang this in the club, baby, you got to get up. Club homies, thug homies, yeah, they giving it up. Low life, yo life, boy, we living it up. Taking chances while we dancing in the party for show. Slip my girl a... when she crept in the back door, chickens looking at me strange, but you know I don't care. Step up in this mother, just a swank in my hair. Trick, quit talking, creep walk if you down with the set. Take a for some grip and take this on the jet. Out of town, put it down for the father of rap. And if you happen to get cracked, trick, shut your trap. Come back, get back, that's the part of success. If you believe in the S, you'll be relieving your stress.
It's the one and only D.R.E. Dr. Dre, Lil Buck. You know I'm mobbing with the D-O-double-G. Straight off them killer streets of CPT. King of the beach, ride to him in your fleet. Good group to feel, rolling on dubs. How you feel? Whoop-de-whoop. What? Dre and Snoop hitting tumblers in the lag. With Doc in the back, sipping on yak. Clipping all the amps, tipping through hoods.
What hood?
Compton, Long Beach, Inglewood. South Central out to the west side. It's California love, it's California. Got your boy a gang of pub. I'm on one, I might bell up in the Century Club. With my jeans on, and my team strong. Get my drink on, and my smoke on. Then go home with something to poke on. Locust on for the 2000. Coming real, it's the next episode.
hold up. Hey, well, my kids will be thinking we soft. We don't play. We gon' rock it till the wheels fall off. Hold up. Hey, well, my kids will be acting too bold. Take a seat. Hope you're ready for the next episode. Hey.
You know, I thank God sun rises and shines.